You know, peer pressure meets all of us, touches all of our lives. Peer pressure causes us to buy cars we don't need, clothes we don't need, we can't afford. Peer pressure causes us to be with people we shouldn't be with. Peer pressure can cause us to do many things that are wrong. Now, peer pressure can be a good thing. If everybody does right, it helps you to do what's right. It makes it easier. But somebody's got to say, I'm going to do the right thing, and that's the leader of the group. And the Lord says, I want all of you. Now, I want you to notice with me, we're going to look in a minute, but we're going to go back a little bit earlier, but I want you to notice chapter 6, verse 1, while I'm on the subject of leadership and servitude. Notice verse 1. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then as workers together with him. So everybody in this room, if you're saved, you're a worker together with the Lord. So it's important that you follow him. Now I want you to notice, if you would, in the outline, the introduction, since we are new creatures because of Christ, we must change and serve, are those two blanks. Notice verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you get saved, your life becomes different. Several things are different. We're going to look at those in a minute. But one thing is different. You're given the gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you'll notice, if you would, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And notice verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. In verse 18, notice this. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now notice in your outline, Roman number 1, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now I put the word in here in A in the outline. Reconciled is returned to favor. So everybody in this room has been given the ministry of returning sinners to the favor of God. Everybody we see and know that's a sinner is under the wrath of God, the anger of God. They don't have a hope for heaven. So you and I have been saved, and that's the reason Jesus asked us to be ministers of the gospel, ministers of this reconciliation. And notice, if you would, in verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Reconciled, he brought us back to himself. Now, it's an amazing story that the creator of the universe would look at nothings like you and I and say, I love you, Rez Massini. I love you, Patrick Dunn, and I want you rightly related with me, but you have nothing I want, so I'm going to send my son to pay your debt of sin and restore you to fellowship to me. And that's the word reconciliation. Restore you back into favor with God. When you have favor with God, you can pray. When you have favor with God, you have his blessings. When you have favor with God, you have his watch care over you. But when you and I are not reconciled to the Lord, we're unsaved. Now we have the wrath of God abiding upon us. Let me ask you this question. How many of you take care and provide for your neighbor's children? Nobody. Now, if they came over and said, could you give me a drink of water, you'd give that to them. But if they said, could you pay for my college bill, you would say, go talk to your parents. If they said, would you go take me out and buy me a new baseball glove, you'd say, go talk to your parents. So they're different than your children or your grandchildren. Well, when we're reconciled to God, we become the children of God. But as many as believed on him, to them he gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we're reconciled unto God, we become his child and we're restored to favor. That's the word reconcile. And he said, look, I'm going to give all of you the ministry of reconciling all the other sinners to me. So notice, if you would, in the outline, reconciled is Greek word return to favor. Notice, one, God reconciled the world back to himself by Christ. So we had nothing that we could give in exchange for our sin. So God said, I'm going to send my son to pay your debt of sin. Look with me, if you would, in verse 21. For he, God, this is 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Now I want you to just take a minute and think about that thought. Notice, if you would, D in the outline, I'm going to skip down. To reconcile us, he made Christ to become sin for us. What does that mean? One, think about Christ. Think is the blank about Christ becoming our lusts and our lies. Can you picture the Son of God becoming our sin? God the Father placed our sins on his Son. That is why about noontime the world turned dark. It's because God the Father turned his back on his Son. Because he became your sin and mine. And God couldn't look on it. And that's the reason Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because he became our sin. What a story. That the creator of the universe would give his own Son. I wouldn't do that for the people of this world. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ did that for us. That is why God looks at you and says, would you represent me and reconcile people back to me? Would you do that for me? You and I really have very little choice if we think about it. Notice with me, if you would, in the outline. Two, Roman number one, A2, he didn't credit us with our sin, but forgave it in Christ. Now, if you're an accountant here, you credit a charge to some account. That means you charge it to that account. If you write a check, they credit that check to your account, and your account goes down. So notice with me, if you would, in verse number 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, that's the word credit, not, or putting to our account, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So God the Father did not impute or credit your sins to you. You know what he did? He credited them to Jesus. What an awful thing. But that's the only way he could make it possible for Alan Sutphen to go to heaven, for David Pittman to go to heaven. That is why the story of the gospel is the greatest story ever told. And you and I, as the recipients of that great grace, ought to be the ones to tell everybody about it. If you had a doctor and you had cancer and you were healed because a doctor gave a certain treatment to you and it was brand new and nobody else had it and it worked every time and you got healed of cancer and you went to the office, he gave you this pill and you got cured of cancer and you walked out and they checked your blood and cancer was all gone, would you tell anybody? Well, it wouldn't take long. You'd tell everybody and you wouldn't care what they thought about you. Because the story's too great. Well, there's a greater story than that. You're on your way to hell, and God sent his Son and credited your sin to Jesus Christ so that he could die and you could go to heaven. And he says, will you tell people? And we say, I don't talk about religion. I don't think the Lord Jesus understands. Whenever I get a little embarrassed or I get a little quiet about the gospel, I get ashamed because of what Jesus did for me. Now notice, if you would, be in the outline. We, is the blank, have been given the word of reconciliation by God. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is that? The story of reconciliation. So he's committed that to Timothy. He's committed that to Jeff. He's committed that to everybody in this room. If you're saved, he's committed the word of reconciliation to you so that you can bring your neighbors and your people that you work with into favor with God. Now, we can't make that happen. Just like if you had the cure for cancer, you couldn't make somebody go to your doctor. But it's their foolishness if they don't. You told them. The problem is Christians are not using the word of reconciliation to tell people. I think that's one of the saddest things in all of Scripture. It's one of the greatest sins of a Christian, the sin of omission, of telling people the word of reconciliation. Now notice what he says. Just get the concept of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. Just get the concept here. Notice if you would, in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So God makes you brand new. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then in the next verses, he tells you what he did with the old things. He credited them to Jesus Christ. And God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness, and we give to him our sin. So the world turns black, and God turns his back on his son and said, I can't look at him anymore. And Jesus says, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he looks at us, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What a Savior. And so then God says this. Notice, if you would, he said in verse 19, he says, I didn't impute your trespasses to you, but I've given you the word of reconciliation. Now notice, see in the outline, we are ambassadors, or the word is representatives of Christ and heaven. Notice, if you would, verse 20. Now, as a result of being a brand new Christian, being everything being new in Christ, our sins being credited to Christ and his righteousness being given to us, now you are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Notice, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. So notice, if you would, one in the outline, see, God has designated us to serve him. He's chosen every one of us in this room. You're an ambassador. You may say, I don't want to be an ambassador. You don't have a choice. Notice what he says. Now then, we are ambassadors. The only question is, what kind of an ambassador? Now, what does an ambassador do? He represents what? A country. And a king. Or a president. Or a leader. What do you represent? The country of heaven. Who's the king? Jesus Christ. So he says, I credited your account, I credited your sin to my son's account. I turned my back on him. I killed him, and his blood washed away your sin, and I've given you his righteousness, and I'm making you my ambassadors. And we said, we don't want to do that. I think he would be greatly disappointed in that. I think we have a privilege that few on the earth have. You're an ambassador. You're a representative of heaven. That is why peer pressure ought to have no effect on a Christian. You're not going to get me to curse like that because I represent heaven. There's none of that in heaven. You're not going to get me to dress like that or talk like that or act like that because I represent heaven. You're not going to get me to think like that because I represent heaven. And better than that, I represent the King of heaven. And he personally paid my debt. So I can't do that. I represent him. If we could understand that thought, it would change our lives. But that's everyone in this room that's saved. That's all of us. You're an ambassador. Everything you do represents heaven and your Savior, the one who personally paid your debt of sin. Notice, if you would, in the outline, one, God has designated us to serve him. But notice, two, God is beseeching us. He is pleading with us to represent him through Paul. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. It's like God is pleading with you through me, Paul. Would you please represent him? Now, these are Corinthians. Corinthian Christians, they were gossipy. They were proud. They were immoral. They worshiped. They had prostitutes on the steps of their temples, and they got saved from that, and their lives are different. He said, now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what it is on the inside when God makes us. But we can immediately say, you know, I don't know if I want to be like that, because we have to choose to make him Lord of our life. And many Christians, most Christians, don't do that. We want him to be our Savior, but not our Lord. So we choose a lot of the things that we do, and we grow slowly. When God's intent is that when you get saved, represent me. Everything has changed. Just like a brand new leaf turned over, and you're different. I remember there was this man in Memphis that came by to sell me something, and I got a chance to witness to him and tell him about Christ. He got saved, and I went by his home, I think to take him a Bible. And I went by his home, and his wife, I looked at his wife, and she met me at the door, and I said, I'm Pastor Pittman. I just want to come by and give your wife, your husband, this Bible, or I'll talk to him for a minute. Is he here? And she said, no, but he's different. He used to drink, and he just stopped. It's like, he's a different man. What happened to him? That's the way it's supposed to be. When he got saved, he knew he was wicked. He didn't want it anymore. And he knew what Jesus had done for him, and he was glad to be forgiven. And his life changed. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in the scriptures, notice this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, verse 20. As though God did beseech us by you, we pray you in Christ's stead, in place of Christ, be reconciled to God. In other words, I want you, now use reconciled as the word for salvation, really. But now he's talking to these Christians. He said, I'm asking you to get close to the Lord. He said, because understand, he's using reconciled in two forms. One, in salvation by grace, your sins were credited to Christ and his righteousness was credited to you. And then he told them that and repeated it in verse 21. Notice, if you would, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So then he says, chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive the grace of God, not in what? Vain. So Paul says, look, we're asking you as ambassadors for heaven and for Christ that you would not receive the free gift of reconciliation in vain. What did he mean by that? Well, he wants you to take the gift of salvation and let it change your life. If you drink, you give it up. If you smoke, you give it up. If you curse, you give it up. If you run around your wife, you give it up. If you run around your husband, you give it up. If you berate your family, you give it up. If you think bad thoughts, you give it up. Why? Because we're workers together with Christ. We represent him. I know that David Pittman does not realize the privilege that he has to represent the King of Heaven. Because I've not stepped foot inside heaven, but I can tell you this. The day I step through the gate of pearl and look in, I'm going to say, oh my, I should have done better. Every one of us. And that's the reason Revelation 21 says he's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. There are not going to be many Pauls. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not going to be many Pauls. We're going to walk in and we're going to look at it and say, oh, I knew I should have done better. Now, that didn't mean we didn't do well, and it didn't mean that the Lord Jesus is going to say, I'm proud of you. But I see this passage, and he says, Corinthians, we're laborers together with Christ. Notice in verse 1, we then as workers together with him. You are a worker together with the Lord of heaven, Jesus Christ. Now, notice if you would, I'm going to go to the outline. Notice D, to reconcile us, he made Christ to become sin for us. We went over that. Look at number one. Think about Christ becoming our lust and lies. Then notice two, Christ sacrificed so much for us, we must be appreciative in heart. We must be grateful in heart and help him reach the world. Every one of us. You've got to be appreciative in your heart for what Jesus Christ did for you. If tonight we could demonstrate it, if we could have someone be here with Jesus Christ and be a perfect, holy son of God, and somebody come and take black paint, and the black paint is my life, and I take it and pour it on Christ, and he accepts it, and he takes white paint and pours it on me, and I look at it and say, I'm clean. And I look at Jesus, and I say, how do I say thank you? I don't think we realize and can understand what Jesus has done for us. Otherwise, no one would have to beseech us to do anything, to plead with us, to serve him. Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, that you don't receive it and it doesn't have great value. Now, notice if you would, Roman numeral 2 in the outline. We are workers or co-laborers with Christ. You're not just working with anybody. You're working with Jesus Christ. Notice if you would, A, we must not receive Christ and his grace in vain. We are to live right and honor him. That's what he means in vain. Live right and honor him. Now notice number one, we all accepted Christ at a specific time. Look in verse 2. For he saith, I've heard thee, and in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee, have I helped thee. And behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Everybody in this room got saved at one particular time. All of us did. If you're a co-worker with Jesus Christ, you got saved at one point in time. It is punctiliar. It happens at one spot. It doesn't happen in a continuous motion. You don't start going to church and then your life begins to change and then at some point in time you're saved. It happens at one point in time, and notice if you would, it happens in a prayer. When you and I come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was instantaneous. Luke 18, the righteous man comes to the altar and said, I'm thank you, I'm not like the other people. And this one poor man comes in and he knows himself and his own value and he beats on his chest and he kneels down and he says, Lord, forgive me. I don't have the words to say. I'm a sinner. And he said, that man went away justified. Now, Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, he's sitting there hearing these two men that had been beaten for the cause of Christ, thrown in jail, and it's midnight, and they're singing. They're not accepting their gift of grace in vain. They realize they're ambassadors for Christ. So an ambassador is in prison and he's proud of Christ and he sings, oh, how I love Jesus, and everybody can hear it. And all of a sudden the earth shakes. God says, I am so proud of you. And the earth shakes and the doors fall open. And this one Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And he prayed and the Bible says, and his whole house was saved and he was baptized that night. So it is an instantaneous one day in your life. And if I were to ask tonight, real quickly, somebody tell me the day you got saved. What day of the year was it? Anybody know? What day did you get saved? June 7th. April 23rd. Tommy. January 3rd. January 31st. There is a 7 or 8 year old, 9 year old, and there's a 80 year old right here, and all of us in this room. It happened on a particular day. That's why he's saying, for he saith, I've secured thee in one day. You know, we're appointed today. We're appointed today to die, and we're appointed a day to trust Christ. And you come to that day. And you pray and trust Christ or you don't. Notice with me, if you would, 2 in the outline. This is Roman numeral 2, A2. We must not give offense in anything that the name of Christ be not blamed. The Greek word there is smeared or blotted. Now, I want you to notice, as we go through this list, and it's several verses long, but notice verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. You know what the ministry is? It's loving and caring about people. That's what it is. That's the ministry. That the ministry, serving the Lord, working in Awanas, singing in choir, doing the handbells, leading music, being an usher, that is not blamed. That you are unfaithful. You are not worthy. So we learn to say, I don't want the Lord to get any blame for something that I have done. So we do one of two things. We either live right or we make it right. We say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Now, there's nobody in this room that has ever lived a year without having to say that. So we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. The question is, do you do what's right, or you make an attempt to do what's right every day of your life, and when you fail, you make it right? You look at somebody that saw you fail and say, I am sorry. If you argued with your wife or your husband, you look at them and say, I am sorry, I was wrong. 1 Peter chapter 3, railing, rendering, railing for railing. Don't do that. But blessing to blessing. So if you get railed on by your mate, it doesn't give you right to rail back. You may say that, but somebody's got to say, I'm sorry. And it ought to be both of you. That's the way the ministry is not blamed. Because everybody is the ministry. I mean, Tim, your ministry is your sisters, and sisters, your ministry is Tim, and your ministry is your mom. And so all of us, we have a ministry, and it's this church family. So you cannot do what you want to do because you represent as an ambassador the King of Heaven. So he says, notice the wording of verse 3, giving no offense in anything. What is he trying to cover? He's trying to cover everything you do, say, and think. He said, don't give an opportunity for someone to blame the ministry for anything. Notice, if you would, verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. So he said, look, as an ambassador of Christ from chapter 5, and as a worker together, a laborer with Christ, there are two things you must remember. Don't give any offense. Don't let anybody be able to blame the ministry for anything. Now, so let me tell you this. Our church split 31 years ago. I don't know what it was all about. Brother Rob was probably the only one that's here. But the pastor did something, and the deacons did something, and they got crosswise of each other, and the church split right down the middle. Now, it wasn't this half went that way, this, but people just split. And half the church went right down the road, two miles down the road. Can I tell you something? The ministry got blamed. Jesus got blamed. Before I let that happen, I'm leaving. Because I don't want the Lord Jesus to get the blame. If somebody accuses me of something, is Drew here tonight? Drew in this room? Rob? Huh? Okay. He's in security. Years back, I was accused of something. Telling a lie. You know what I did? Rob, you remember? What did I do? I came and offered my resignation. Because the ministry can't get blamed. And that's the only time I've ever done that. That's the only time I've been accused. You can't let that happen. Christ is worth more than that. He is worthy. Dave Pittman is nothing compared to the ministry. This is not my church. This is just a place I get to serve. This is your church. This is our church. This is the Lord's place. So we've got to protect it. Giving no offense in anything. So if you do something, just say quickly, I am sorry, it was my fault. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. That's all we can do. But notice with me, if you would, look down in verse number four. But in all things are proving ourselves. So you don't let the ministry get blamed. You make sure the ministry doesn't get blamed. You make sure the Lord doesn't get blamed. And then number two, you try to make sure everything you do is approved by the Lord. So notice what he says, but in all things. Now notice, most of the times we get in trouble when we make everything all-inclusive. Well, you never say this, or you always say that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? Well, you always do this. We don't do anything like that. That's not true. But when we're upset about something, we say, that car always breaks down on me, and it broke down 3 times in 5 years, you know? But it's always breaking down. Or that person always talks about me, and that's not true. Well, in this passage, he says, giving no offense in anything. God says it covers everything you do. And then notice the next part. He said, and in all things, make sure it's approved by the Lord. So there's nothing we do that we don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this okay with you? So it's our thoughts, it's our words, it's our attire, it's what we drive, it's where we live, it's what we eat, it's everything. Lord, in everything, is it okay with you? Now notice, if you would, he says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. A minister is a servant of God. So in everything as a servant of God, approve everything through the Lord. That's what we're all supposed to do. Notice this. Look at me if you would. He says, in much patience. Now, I wish that you'd take that word out. I don't like that word. But it says in much patience. So we all work patiently. We work, wait on the Lord. Notice the next one. In afflictions. So we approve, Lord, is this okay with you? I'm in affliction, but it's okay with you. Notice the next one. In necessities, in distresses, in stripes. Lord, did I do the right thing? Did I deserve? Are these stripes okay with you? I don't want you to get blamed for it. Notice, if you would, in imprisonments. Lord, I'm in prison, but do I deserve to be here, or is it because of your sake? Lord, I'm glad to be about that. Everything is Christ proud of you that you did it. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. By the way, watchings is a word for sleeplessness. And you're being up all night long. Lord, am I being approved in your sight? Is this something I ought to be burdened about where I don't get any sleep? By pureness, that's a holiness in heart. In other words, make sure your heart is holy. It's the same word for the holy place in the tabernacle. Make sure your heart is absolutely clean. What happened to the high priest if he went into the Holy of Holies with any sin on his life? What happened to him? He died. They put a rope around his leg so nobody can get him. They pulled him out. He had bells on the bottom of his robe so they knew he was still alive. So he says, you make sure if you go in there, you're completely confessed, you're holy. Same thing for the Lord's Supper. Make sure you're holy. He said, you're a representative of heaven. Boy, I read this passage, I just get so convicted. I said, Lord, I got to do a lot better than I've been doing. I am sorry, Lord. I need to be a better witness. I need to pass out more tracts, Lord. I need to be more faithful. I need to think better. I need to make sure my eyes see better. I need to make sure my ears hear better. I need to make sure everything that I do, Lord, is it okay with you? Notice the list here. By pureness, that's holiness. By knowledge, are you studying the scriptures? Is the Lord pleased with your scripture study? I wonder if we've asked the Lord that. By long suffering, by kindness. Lord, am I kind enough for you? That's a hard thing, isn't it? Lord, am I kind enough to everybody? Am I kind enough to Brandon, Lord? Lord, he didn't deserve it. Do I have to be kind to him? Lord, am I kind enough? We have to all ask that. And that's when he says, hey, love your enemies. If you love your enemies, what in the world are you supposed to do to the people you work with? So it's an amazing life that when we look at it, we say, I am not this, but we ought to be. And he said, you are an ambassador for me. I've made you that. Are you pure? Are you holy? Are you kind? Notice what he says. By the Holy Spirit, In other words, you don't do things on your own strength, but by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by a love that's genuine. Is your love real? Is your love for your mate real? Is your love for your parents real? Is your love for the Lord real? Is your love for your enemy real? Are you approved by God? You are His servant. You are His ambassador. When I go down to places downtown where all the ambassadors live, what's the embassy? The Embassy Row. When I go down Embassy Row, I see all these flags in these countries, and I see these people standing out in front of them, and I see these real nice limousines, and I see people pulling up. Well, you see an ambassador come up, and boy, everybody's, well, the Lord looks at an ambassador and said, you're to serve people. But could you imagine what kind of embassy heaven would have down there? Can I tell you what His embassy is? It's this room. And you're the ambassadors. You are from the embassy of heaven. Have you thought about that? So when you get in a car and drive out, well, it may not be a Lincoln. I mean, it may not be a limo. But you're an ambassador everywhere you go. Are you approved in your kindness? Are you approved in your love? By the word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor, by dishonor, by evil report, by good report, are you approved? As deceivers and yet true. In other words, people say we're deceivers, but yet we're true. He says, as unknown, where nobody knows us, and yet well known, everybody knows us. There goes a Christian. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. Notice, if you would, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Wow, Lord, I don't rejoice even when I'm sorrow in my heart. I don't rejoice all the time. Now, I want you to notice, be in the outline, we must approve everything with Him as one of His servants. We should never put anything before Him. Never put anything before Him. And then notice with me, if you would, one, serving Christ requires patience in suffering. If you're going through a hard time, are you trusting the Lord? Are you a representative of heaven? If you're hurting, when you go get in your car, are you an ambassador for Christ? That's what He's saying. Two, we must add pureness or holiness, knowledge, and genuine love. He said, my ambassadors, you're going to be able to tell them because they really love people. It's real. They're really holy. They're pure. They're godly. Now, it's not godly in Tom's approval. It's not godly in James' approval or Patrick's or Reza's. It's in His approval. So all of us elevate our question, Lord, are You approved? Are You approving me? Are You pleased with my love? Are You pleased with my holiness? Are You pleased with my joy in You? Notice, if you were in the outline, see, we should be joyful in daily life and have a joy in serving. It's not that just we serve the Lord and that's all we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve with such a joy that people say, man, they're always happy in the Lord. They really like what they're doing. And notice, if you would, D in the outline, we must make others and their needs our priority. That's what a servant is. An ambassador represents his country and tries to help people know more about his country. Now, you'll notice in verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. How do we do that? We tell them of how to be reconciled to God. We're making many rich. Tonight, let me ask this question. Simple. How good of an ambassador are you? Is He pleased with you tonight? You know, I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I don't always do the right thing, but the only thing I can do then is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will You forgive me? All I can do is look at You and say, I'm sorry. Will You forgive me? I want to do what's right. I want to represent Him well. No one can be perfect, but we can all be right. That comes with learning to apologize quickly and thoroughly with a sincere heart. and learning to love people. So, every one of us represent the Lord Jesus if you're saved tonight. Is he pleased with you? We're going to have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Ambassadors for Christ. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts tonight. Would you touch our hearts as only you can? Lord, if there's some area of our lives, our knowledge of Scripture, our holy heart, our joy, Lord, whatever it might be, our love for people, our obedience, Lord, we are workers together with you. Help us to be pleasing in your sight. Would you be approved with us? Lord, I want you to approve of every person in this room. Or would your Holy Spirit touch their heart and show them where they're unapproved so they might apologize and make it right? Give us the courage to say, I'm sorry. Lord, help us to realize what you've done for us by taking upon you our sin and giving upon us your righteousness. Now speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.